What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today here with Francisco Rojas. I am recording this Sunday night for Monday morning. So this is, you know, just a couple of hours after the Phillies get swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know without Bryce Harper, but they get swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. They lose, you know, their last three series. You get swept twice in the last three of these series, one to the Brew Crew and one now to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Phils now sit on the year 37-28 and second in the National League East. So you don't feel so good right now. And we're going to definitely get into my thoughts and observations on this series. And I have a question going off. The WIP Afternoon Show asked a Twitter poll question, and I kind of want to get into something going off of that and something kind of similar to it, but in a different way, and where I'm very, very, very close to something with this Phillies team that I'm not feeling great about right now. So stay tuned for that in just a couple of minutes. And then we'll get into an injury update on Bryce Harper, who's on the 10-day IL, if you didn't know. And get you an update on Aaron Nola. And then we will preview the next three-game series for the Phils where they will take on the Chicago Cubs. So that's coming up in a little bit. So recap and key moments from today's game. Bottom of the second inning. And there wasn't really much to recap from this game, by the way. Just keeping it short, which is what the segment's going to be. Jared Triolo for the Pittsburgh Pirates hits a double to right center field. Ke'Bryan Hayes would come all the way around from first base to score 1-0 Pittsburgh. Top of the third inning, Rafael Marchand, Phil's catcher, hits a double to right field. Brandon Marsh would score on a throwing error by Nick Gonzalez, throwing it to Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at second base, who could not handle his throw, and that would allow Brandon Marsh to score from third. And so it was a tie game at that point. Bottom of the eighth, former Phil and Pirate legend Andrew McCutchen singling on a broken bat looper to right field. O'Neill Cruz would score 2-1 Pirates at that point. And then fast forward just to the top of the ninth, Alec Boehm had runners on base, had runners at first and second, and Alec Boehm would ground into a double play to end the game. And the Pittsburgh Pirates win this game 2-1, and they three-game sweep the Philadelphia Phillies. So my thoughts and observations from unfortunately being swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates, who, you know, you might have heard some chatter this year that a lot of people are talking about this team's so bad and they're so terribly run that this organization should trade away Paul Skeens because he's better fit to be somewhere else, or a team's actually going to be able to afford him, and a team that really doesn't, you know, as far as upstairs goes in the front office, or not even front office, but the ownership, they don't even care to win. So they three games swept. You know what? Just about three weeks removed from sweeping them in the middle of last month, and that feels like a different time, right? It feels like a different time where this Phils team felt we were right in the middle of a good run for the Phils over a month or so. So, my first, just, you know, I guess, you know, thought immediately from the series, and especially after today and yesterday, offense just continuing to struggle. And I mean, this is even with Bryce Harper, you know, in and out of the lineup. I mean, even in the Blue Jays series, when he was in the lineup, they were still only able to score two runs in the games after Bryce got back against Toronto. And then this series without Bryce Harper. Yes, Friday, you score four runs. Still wasn't enough to win at the end of the day. And then Saturday and Sunday, you only score two runs. I mean, the story of the last two series let's keep it real. And I mean, even the Milwaukee series, you did score 7 runs in the second game, but who cares, because you lost by 10 still. You lost by, you know, field goal and a touchdown, 17-7, but you only scored two runs in the first game and 2 runs in the second or the third game of that series. Offense has just been, it's been horrible. Let's just keep it real. Even the Braves series, look back at the Braves series. You know, the 2 games you lost, you scored 5 runs combined, so that wasn't great either. You know, so ever since the A's series, you know, look, coming off the Pittsburgh and you know, at home, and then Colorado, and then in Sacramento, you felt good, felt pretty good overall, just the way the offense was going. But offense continuing to struggle. They were the number one reason why you lost this series. Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, and even in the first game, I mean, it was a bullpen game. I mean, what were you going to expect? You weren't going to expect 9 dominant innings from at best middle of the pack bullpen that included Ross, Banks, Alan Rangel coming up for his first appearance, Orion Kerkering, Strom, and Romano. And you just weren't. Offense continuing to struggle is the biggest thing from this game. Second thing, you know, the positive from this, in a way, like, Ranger Suarez has been so good since he's come back from injury. Ranger's been unbelievable, you know, albeit the first game that he came back, and kind of flying under the radar a little bit. I don't know if it's because of how, you know, a lot of the fan base feels about this team right now, or because maybe we're thinking about moving him to the bullpen, but it's going to be tough to put Ranger to the bullpen, man. It's going to be tough to move him there. It's going to be, I mean, feels like it's going to be tough to potentially move Ranger to the bullpen when that time comes. Because, I mean, if Ranger continues this, I mean, let's also remember this time last year, you know, Ranger was one of the best pitchers in baseball. It was different because it's not like he missed time with injury at all, you know, the first half of last year. But maybe that's why maybe he's flying under the radar a little bit. But I don't think we're talking enough about, you know, Ranger's just been, has been unbelievable, you know, since he's returned from injury, outside of his first start since he came back. And last takeaway, I mean, for a while, it seemed like we were on track to have Jordan Romano maybe be closer to the pitcher he was in Toronto for years, and, you know, one of the best relievers in the American League. I mean, this is 3 straight games with allowing at least 1 run. Allowed 1 run in all 3 of these games. And, you know, you thought maybe that Athletics game was just a hiccup in his road to getting back to be more consistent in the Jordan Romano that was with the Blue Jays all those years. And doesn't feel like it right now, man. Doesn't feel like it right now. And this team really needs Jordan Romano to get it together. It really does. And at the time of when Alvarado, we got the news about Alvarado, Romano was in that stretch of, you know, seeming like he was getting back on track. And I don't know, man. I don't know. It would, maybe even just the last couple of weeks, Romano has not been good. And they need him to get it together. They need him to get it together. And now, even if he does, it feels like even if he does have a good stretch here, how do we know he's not going to go the other way at some point? How do we know? Just because of the way it's going. It's been up and down so far the first, you know, 2+ months here in a Phillies uniform for Jordan Romano, but they need him to get it together, especially the way this bullpen is built right now. And it's unfortunate without Alvarado, but reality is reality, and reality is, I mean, they're going to need Jordan Romano to get it together no matter what. But the last 3 appearances plus the Athletics appearance, Jordan Romano not making me feel too good right now. That is for sure. So that's my last takeaway from the series and where you get swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. After Jordan Romano, you know, lost, you know, gave up the winning run against Pittsburgh on Friday. So Jordan Romano, he needs to get it together. Okay, so I wanted to go off of a poll that I saw from Ike, Spike, and Fritz on Friday, and kind of, you know, looking ahead to the trade deadline. And, you know, they posed the question, at the trade deadline, do you want the Phillies to reinvest in this team in a meaningful way or treat it closer to last year's deadline? And I've been thinking for a while, and I don't know if I'm necessarily all the way there yet, but looking ahead to this deadline, I was thinking maybe, you know, maybe we do need to get an impact bat and an impact reliever. And I still think that's on the table. But I got to be honest, man. In the last couple of weeks, if you guys have listened to me specifically on this podcast, I've talked about how I've come to a couple of realizations with this team. And I just think I've come to the realization that a lot of these guys in this offense, outside of Bryce, Trey, and Schwarber, who are, you know, probably three of the leaders of this team, are outside of those guys, not a lot of guys you really can trust outside of those three. And feels like they're all just guys outside of those three guys in this lineup. And I'm almost getting to the point, I'm not going to say I'm there yet, because maybe I should still be able to give this team a little bit of leash. I'm not saying a lot of leash, because I know a lot of fans out there are upset. A little bit of leash that they're still as talented as they're supposed to be. But I'm curious, because there's a lot of people, and I saw a tweet earlier, something about, you know, the Phillies window, is it closed already? Well, I'm curious to know from the fan base. I wanted to get the temperature from fan base, from you guys out there, the rest of the fan base. Are you to the point where you're looking ahead to the future of this team and you don't trust this team anymore? Or are you still in on this team right now? Because I think there's a good portion of those that are on either side of that boat. Maybe there are some that are in the middle, maybe like a 25%, maybe 20-25%, but it still feels like it's a mix of 30-40% each, maybe 40% each of those that are in for looking at this, and we're looking ahead to what's after this core of this team. And there's the other side that maybe you still believe in this team. And I got to be honest, man. I think I don't know how much I trust this core at this point. I know we're, 70 games into the season, roughly. But I'm looking at some of the, you know, the 60 games for a lot of the guys in this lineup, and just the guys outside of the ones I named, and really everybody in this lineup is really, they are who they are at this point, I would say. But I feel like I'm starting to look ahead to the future. And maybe I started looking ahead to the future after you lost to the Mets last year. But I think I'm close to saying, like, if I were Dave Dombrowski, I'm really close to saying that I would just make a bold move at the deadline. And I don't mean a bold move as in, like, getting a Kyle Tucker. I mean, like, the other way. I mean, like, trading Kyle Schwarber. Or, I mean, I don't think trading Alec Bohm would necessarily be a bold move at this point. But moves like trading Schwarber at the deadline, along with trading Alec Bohm in there. You're not going to trade Bryce Harper or Trey Turner because you're locked into those contracts. But trading those guys, like I mentioned, and maybe still having, you know, not being a, I don't know, but trading some of those, these guys that I'm naming, and, you know, maybe letting JT walk at the end of the year, and focusing on some of these guys that you've been, because you've really, this farm system has really been built up over the last couple of years to where it's a lot better than it used to be. It's a lot better than it used to be. And we're actually looking at guys now that we're actually, like, really excited about, obviously, in Miller, Crawford, Painter, you know, Mick Abel now too, even the, you know, of how he's looked in his first two starts as a Philly. I don't want to say I'm there yet. I don't want to say I'm there yet. I still think they deserve a little bit of leash, but over the next couple of months, and you know, this Phillies team is going to, the offense is going to get hot. Certain guys are probably going to get hot and carry this team. And man, I'm just at the point where I think I'm looking ahead to the future. And of course, Dave Dombrowski's not going to do that. And because if you're Dave Dombrowski, you're not going to send a message to Bryce Harper and Trey Turner that Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, even some other guys, you know, on the team, especially the pitching staff with Wheeler and Nolan, guys like that, that you're kind of conceding the season or anything like that. But I don't know, man. I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there where my belief in this team is just really wavering. A lot of the guys in the offense are guys that they're a big enough sample size to just look at and be like, well, you are who you are at this point, or we don't know what we're going to get from you. You know, Nick Castellanos has been all over the place since he's been a Philly. You know, Alec Boehm, same thing. Brandon Marsh has been better since he's come back from injury, but has regressed the last couple of years. Just feels like that we're not going in the right direction necessarily with certain guys, especially specifically on the offensive side of things. And I just think I'm starting to look ahead to the future, man. I've got to be honest. There's still a talented team. The rotation's still amazing. There are still a lot of pieces on this offense that are really fun to watch, and Schwarber and Turner and Harper and even certain guys outside of that at times. Castellanos can be really fun to watch. Even Alec Boehm to a certain extent. But I don't know, man. I think there's something wrong with the puzzle pieces for the core of this team, specifically offensively. I just think it's not the right mixture, potentially. And I think you're going to have to make some bold moves, like trade Kyle Schwarber or something like that. They're not going to do it. Dave Dombrowski is not going to do it, but I'm just telling you what I would do. So I'm curious to know where you are as a fan right now, as a fan watching this team. You still have belief in this team, or are you just kind of like, you have belief, or are you thinking, man, this team, they're not going to do anything. They're even if they do get to the playoffs, which they probably will, they're still a playoff team, but get to the playoffs, wild card exit or NLDS exit, and that's it. And this team doesn't really believe in themselves, or they'll beat themselves. Curious to know what your thoughts are on that. So are you looking at, are you potentially starting to look ahead to the future, or are you still in on this team where they are, where they're sitting 37-28, second in the National League East? Okay, injuries and transactions you just know about. So, you know, obviously we need to keep you updated on Bryce, because Bryce now, who has right wrist inflammation. Now, apparently he was dealing with some wrist problems last year, and he just kind of played through it. And now this year, he has been dealing with them still, and now he just wanted to take some time off to get this issue corrected. So apparently Harper told trainers a couple of days ago on June 6th, that, which was Friday, that it had gotten worse, and they wanted to give him some time off, figure this out. So Bryce Harper, expected, he's on the 10-day IL, and Phillies.com, at least, it's saying that expected return is to be determined right now. So we'll keep you updated. I'm sure Kyle, Dan, and Justin will all keep you updated on Bryce as they get information as well. So keep it locked on Phillies 24/7 to find out what's up with Bryce Harper. Aaron Nola, who technically has the right ankle sprain, he was scheduled to throw live batting practice on Thursday, but was called off after Nola felt stiffness in his right side. So there's a right side thing. He's not throwing. His team awaits for stiffness to completely subside. Nola will need a rehab assignment before returning to the rotation. So nothing going on with Knowles as of right now. And latest transactions, they claimed Ryan Cusick off waivers from the White Sox, and then they completely right away optioned him to the Florida Complex League. Kyle Tyler was DFA'd. Also, Otto Kemp, who we saw this weekend, it was cool to see him. Didn't really do much, but he was called up to the Phils. Didn't really do much. He didn't have a walk today, but he walked and he struck out. And then the day before that, in his debut, went 0 for 3 with a couple of strikeouts, but just a couple of games. So, yeah, you had Otto Kemp make his debut. Alan Rangel yesterday was optioned to Triple A Lehigh Valley. Daniel Robert was recalled from Triple A Lehigh Valley. And so that's pretty much what I have for you on the injuries and transactions front. Thank you to Phillies.com, as always, for the information. Next series. Okay, three games set versus the Chicago Cubs. So the Cubs are coming in to this series with a 40-25 record. Last time the Phils played the Cubs was the game was at the end of April at Wrigley, and the Phils won 2 of 3 at that point, and that is when the Phils got on a bit of a run for pretty much about a month or so, or it was about a month, and so Phils three games swept the Cubbies way back then. And the Cubs are a good team, man. They're one of the best teams in the National League. I mentioned their 40-25 record. It's number two, right next to, unfortunately, the team we're looking up to in the division, in the New York Mets. So the Cubs coming in with a 40-25 record. They just got shut out by the Tigers today 4-0. And the pitching matchups we're looking at, so tomorrow, Monday night, which will be tonight when you're listening to this, Zach Wheeler versus Matthew Boyd. Tuesday night, Mick Abel, Colin Rhea, 6:45. And then Wednesday, 1:05 start will be Jesus Luzardo, who we're all going to be watching with a very, 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 very close eye, as he's been absolutely horrendous. I mean, horrendous might even be an understatement. His last two starts out, so a lot of eyes are going to be on Jesus Luzardo to see if he can get it back together. 6:45 start time Monday, which is tonight. Tuesday, 6:45, and then Wednesday, 1:05 start for the Phils and the Cubs. So hopefully the Phils can get it back on track here. We assume they'll probably get hot at some point. But, okay. All right, so that will do it for this episode of Phillies Today. It has been Francisco Rojas. I will talk to you guys very soon. Stay tuned for Kyle, Dan, Justin, also on the channel. See you guys later.